Diese Episode wird euch präsentiert von HiBob. Die cloudbasierte HR-Lösung bringt deine Mitarbeitenden zusammen. Ob remote oder hybrid, vor Ort oder von überall auf der Welt. Vom Onboarding und der Verwaltung der Stamm- und Unternehmensdaten über das Talentmanagement bis hin zum Offboarding. Bob ist intuitiv zu bedienen wie ein Social-Media-Account. Die Plattform hilft euch, eine HR-Welt zu schaffen, die die administrative und passive Verwaltung hinter sich lässt und sich nativ in eure Unternehmenskultur integriert, sie stützt und aufbaut. Guckt es euch doch einfach mal an. Den Link findet ihr in den Shownotes. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You'll never have
the sacred stone. Oh, this you crazy mother... Herzlich willkommen bei Zielgruppengerecht. Euren Podcast rund um Digitalisierung, Zielgruppen und Tech im Recruiting. Und hier sind eure Gastgeber, Robindro Ulla und Jan Havlicek.
Herzlich willkommen zum Zielgruppengerecht Podcast und diesmal wieder in der Sektion Inside Out, wo wir immer wieder coole Interviews haben und vor allen Dingen auch unsere Sponsoren vorstellen. Und heute stellen wir HiBob vor und ich freue mich, heute, Melanie kennt ihr alle, heute darf ich Sarah begrüßen, sie ist CMO vom HiBob und da sie Englisch spricht, werden wir jetzt ins Englische überwechseln. So, a very warm welcome from my side, Sarah. I'm very honored that you were willing to do the interview with me so that we get some more impressions of HiBob.
Thank you so much for having me and thank you to all of your audience. I know that this is typically in German, but I'm really grateful to be here talking to you today all about HiBob and what we're seeing in the market.
Yeah, that's great. Could you briefly describe your role within HiBob and how long you've been working for HiBob?
Sure. So I'm Sarah. My pronouns in English are they and them. I am Chief Marketing Officer at HiBob. Chief Marketing Officer means that I'm in charge of all things marketing. So the way that HiBob looks, our beautiful brand, all of the great activities that you see, all the great events and trade shows like Zukunft Personnel that we go to out in the market, all of the great content that you see from the team and, you know, all the emails you receive and the great customer community that we put together, all of that falls under my role at HiBob. And my team does a fantastic job of bringing the HiBob brand and all of our messages to life. I've been at HiBob just about 2 years now. I'll be celebrating my 2-year anniversary in February.
Nice. That's very nice. What have you done before?
So I love the HR technology market. I actually grew up in the HR technology market. I'm based in Boston, Massachusetts in the States. So I have worked for a couple of big names out here local to me, like UKG. I worked at them. I worked at Kronos before the UKG merger happened. I worked at Salary.com, which is focused on employees compensation, data software, and analytics. I've worked in EdTech. And I have also worked outside of HR tech, working in industrial software. So the great CAD and PLM software that folks like automotive companies use to design and manufacture cars, for example, was something that for a time I marketed. But really what I learned from sort of taking that career step away from HR tech was that I really wanted to go back to HR tech. And so I'm here at HiBob. Really sort of delving into something that I am so, so passionate about, which is working with HR folks and helping them to really transform their companies and keep their companies really modern and people-centric.
Well, that's nice to hear. I'm pretty sure the audience love that to hear, especially because I also think that it's like a core function within every company. And I'm also happy to help those people with all that stuff. So our audience knows that we are now partnering with HiBob like about 2 years. And this year was truly exciting to see what was going on at your company. And the two main launches we experienced in Germany, or we saw in Germany, like the recruitment module was launched this year. And also the L&D module was launched. And I was able to witness the reception in Germany market firsthand. But how did it play out for you in other countries? And was it also, were those modules also launched in this year in other countries, or do you have other plans for other countries?
Yeah, so we launched both our hiring module, which is our ATS module, and our learning module, which is our LMS module, around the globe simultaneously, all at the same time. The reception's been really amazing. We have many, many customers who have come to us and said, finally. You know, we love Bob. One of the great joys of my job is how much people love Bob, our product. And, you know, they have eagerly been sort of anticipating our move into, you know, offering that same great experience that employees get out to candidates, so that, you know, the very first touch point from your organization to a candidate really sets the tone with that fresh look and feel, that really colorful sort of vibe that HiBob brings to the table. And it creates, you know, a great experience, not just for the candidate, but for all your hiring managers and your recruiting folks who get to use sort of the same solution that they're already used to using internally for core HR and everything else. And same with learning. You know, we have had lots of folks who really appreciate HiBob's focus on performance management. And they've always said, you know, it would be great if, you know, during a performance review, I could recommend that my employee learn something and I could actually keep track of, you know, did they take the learning I recommended? Did it actually help to close maybe the skill gap that I had identified? And so the learning module has been really, really well received in sort of the global HiBob community as well. I will say, you know, one other things that your audience may or may not have seen from us is that in addition to those two modules, we've actually been very busy because we also launched a payroll solution for the UK market. So if anybody out there has employees in the UK, if you're a multinational, we can now support them through end-to-end payroll, which is really, really exciting because that is our first end-to-end payroll offering anywhere across the globe.
Oh, nice. I find it very interesting how a company like yours is working. So just one more question. Don't you have any kind of pilot country or something? Like you said, all countries where the rollout took place at the same time. There's no country which is like the, in Germany would say, Versuchskaninchen, like the test country or something?
So we have a beta phase for every single one of our products, but our customers are truly global. Most of our customers are multinationals themselves. Oh, yeah, of course. HiBob is a global company. So what we do is we actually invite customers who are interested to participate in the beta program. Oftentimes they're participating, you know, many folks from many sites around the globe. And that allows us to also test, you know, hey, is this something that's really going to resonate, you know, for your employees who are based in the US, in the UK, in, you know, Sweden, in Germany, in Switzerland, in France, in, you know, any place that you potentially have folks? Or, you know, is this something where we need to go back to the table and say we need to make this a totally global solution? So think about it more as like a test period for certain customers, a smaller number of customers maybe before we go officially live, followed by that global release all at the same time.
Cool. Yeah, of course. If hearing you saying that, it makes a lot of sense to to have that kind of approach. So your view is truly global. So I have one question because our audience, most of them, I think they have a main focus on Germany. So, and at the moment, actually, the economy in Germany is not that good. Mm-hmm. And from my point of view, it would be very interesting to hear from you whether there are countries who are currently doing a little bit better. So they might still have, I would say they are recruiting countries. Like at the moment, Germany is a retention country because everyone has tried to hold on those employees who are very good.
Mm-hmm.
So then we're in some kind of retention phase, not recruitment phase, because economy is going a little bit down.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps there are still countries who are doing good or more or less good and still recruitment. What's your global view on the countries you're supporting or where you have customers?
Yeah. So I definitely think that you see differences to the way that people manage their talent globally. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's due to the general, you know, economy or the macro economy. You know, in the US, for example, unemployment is still really, really low, which means that it's highly competitive in the recruiting space for top talent. And, you know, AI is changing a lot of the work that we do so quickly. So there's a lot of competition, especially for, you know, talent that knows AI. You know, it's a hot recruiting market, certainly for certain skills. But I don't know that it's always just the economy that contributes to whether or not you're more focused on recruiting or retention. For example, you know, I've worked in global businesses for a long time. Oftentimes the perspective in a country like Germany or a place like France, for example, where you have a lot more like labor protections for your employees. It's not like the US where you can very easily like hire a lot of folks and maybe in the future when your business changes or when the economy changes, downsize very rapidly. There's a lot more protections on employment, right? And it's a lot more difficult to conduct something like a layoff, for example. Mm-hmm. In that case, oftentimes we are participating with folks in those countries in more of those retention conversations or even an internal mobility conversation. So if you have a group of folks in your organization where their job is changing a lot because of AI, oftentimes it's not about, hey, you know, these folks aren't relevant to my business anymore. I'm going to, you know, maybe reduce the size of my overall company. It's more about, you know, hey, this group of folks, their job has changed, and what other jobs, you know, could they potentially be really, you know, useful to our organization if they were now doing, or how do we upskill them and help them, you know, get to another job that is that's maybe related in terms of sort of underlying skills. I think that idea of like a skills-based organization, while sometimes you approach this conversation because you're talking about like, you know, labor dynamics, it's actually something that now a lot of different folks around the globe are starting to embrace, that same sort of thought process to say, hey, you know, maybe this constant scale up, scale down that we do in places like the US is not necessarily as beneficial to us as, you know, an approach that is more measured and is more focused on, you know, more people centric to say, hey, these are great folks that we have in our organization. Mm-hmm. How do we redeploy them in another part of the business that is simply going to make more sense, you know, in the current sort of environment?
Sounds very interesting and very good. It sounds like we already have those discussions in Germany, like skill-based mm-hmm. approach, skill-based recruitment. Mm-hmm. And of course, the L&D space is already talking for years about skills and enhance specific skills for specific groups. But if I look at the recruitment side, from my point of view, so far as I can see that Germany is far behind when it comes to skill-based recruitment. Is that also something you would experience? Or if you look at Germany, do you think it's perhaps not the most advanced market? Or what's your global perspective on that? Are there countries which are very good at skill-based or very advanced?
I don't know if it's countries necessarily. You know, certainly there's a lot of like HR tech that happens in the US. It's a really, you know, competitive space in the US market. And so there's always new innovative companies coming out in this space who can help companies with things like skill-based recruitment if they're interested. Oftentimes I think about it more from an industry perspective. You know, are there certain industries where the skills are a lot easier to sort of like set out for different positions? Or if they're doing, for example, like high volume hiring, you have to do a lot of hiring. Maybe you have a very seasonal business. Maybe you have a manufacturing business where demand goes up and down, right? If you need a certain set of skills to fill those positions, nursing is another one, right? Like if you need a certain set of skills or even a certain set of certifications to fill those positions, then it's a lot easier to adopt something like skill-based recruitment because you can say, you know, hey, I need you to be certified as a service technician in this area. I need you to have, you know, these types of, you know, nursing certifications to be able able to do this, to be able to operate this machine, you know, you need to know X, Y, and Z, et cetera. Or you need this set of skills that are easy to assess for in, you know, some sort of like pre-interview screener or interview process sort of like screening, versus, you know, those like durable human skills, that are maybe harder to assess for in something that's a little bit more like, you know, automated. So I think it probably depends. And I think that, you know, folks who are really interested in the skills-based organization, there's a lot of different use cases for, you know, where skills come into play in the recruiting cycle, where they come into play in the performance management cycle, where they come into play in, you know, things like workforce planning and organizational design, even, and thinking about, you know, how your organization is going to look, you know, 1, 2, 5, even 10 years from now, if we can forecast out that far.
I like the way you you think. Like, did I get that correctly? So, your way of thinking is, if a company embraces a skill-based approach, they will try to implement it no matter where. Like, doesn't depend on the country, because the company already embraces the approach, so they will even try to implement it in Germany. So that's how you think, right?
Yes. I think it's more about the approach, and does it resonate with your business and the way that you think about talent, versus does it specifically speak to the needs of one geography versus a different, you know, place around the world?
Yeah. I wrote down a question, which is also very interesting for me, for our audience. As a global HR tech company, where do you see the biggest HR challenges worldwide at the moment?
I think definitely balancing, you know, that recruitment or retention. I think there's a lot of different areas where people are trying to strike a balance, or maybe I would call it even like build a bridge between two ideas that they need to work through. You know, there's the classic, like, are you building talent or are you buying talent out in the market, especially when it comes to a hot topic like AI, right? Sometimes some people present even just the conversation about AI as like a bridge that needs to be built. Well, are you investing in AI or are you investing in people? Well, why do we think that those are mutually exclusive, right? So we need to kind of help build a bridge between those two sides of that conversation. There's certainly challenges now in, you know, especially like in the US and in the UK, in, you know, a bridge between, you know, we know what's important for our company. We understand what's important for our culture and our values. You know, we know that a diverse and inclusive organization is, you know, more innovative, is more welcoming, you know, is going to attract the best talent possible for us. But there's also in some places social pressure and pushback against, you know, things like DEI, right? And so how do we build a bridge between those two things? Or how do we strike a balance between knowing what we need to do for our business and this pressure that we feel from the outside? Even in HR technology, there's, you know, a constant conversation about, should you buy from a full suite vendor like a HiBob, where you offer, you know, lots of different modules that cater to everything your organization needs in HR? Or do you go for a solution that's more best of breed, where it's the very, very best of every different type of HR technology, and you have to make them talk to each other and sort of stitch that together? It's a really interesting conversation, and it's a really interesting time to work in HR, because you are at the focal point where you have to find those balances or build those bridges between so many different things that maybe on the surface look like an either or type of option.
I like the picture of building bridges as one of the main targets for the HR departments. Actually, I think it is building bridges between people, building bridges between business and HR, and
between also, leaders and employees. Yeah. And there's so many different places, I think, in the organization that the work of HR, you know, is kind of like building a bridge.
Yeah. That's nice. That's a nice picture. Yeah. Especially now talking to you, actually, I wrote down that question before, but now talking to you, it's getting more and more obvious that the labor market might get on a global level as other markets too. Like, I don't know, a lot of markets, from my point of view, I can buy easily from the US stuff. A lot of markets are very global, and the world is coming more and more together. And from my point of view, this is also happening for the labor market, especially since AI is you don't have so many language barriers anymore. Because with AI, things are easily translated. So even their software to have a real time translation. Mm-hmm. So my question for you is: do you think that we at some point in the future we will talk about one big labor market which is global, or do you think that's not going to happen because of a lot of differences? Like you said, you started, for example, payroll. Payroll is something from I think which is very
very different.
Specific.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you think it's possible to have one global age labor market someday, or is it something we should try to achieve?
I think for knowledge workers, COVID sort of pushed us into the first thought about like a borderless talent pool, right? Mm-hmm. Suddenly, if everybody's working remote and you don't have to go into the office, then your opportunity to recruit the best talent, regardless of where they live in your country on the planet, has, you know, greatly expanded, right? But the reality is that I think knowledge workers make up something like 25% of the total like labor force around the globe. The remaining 75% are frontline workers. And if you work in something like a restaurant, you work in a manufacturing facility, you work in a retail shop, you work in the healthcare system, right? Your definition of what like a borderless talent pool looks like might be a little different, because it's not as simple as saying, hey, I'm going to open my laptop and it doesn't matter if my laptop is in, you know, Cologne or California, right? I'm going to log in and do the same work and take advantage of all those great like translation and localization opportunities that maybe AI is going to help me to do to connect with folks who speak different languages around the world. The reality is, you know, if you're on the front line, you have to show up still to a place of work, right? And you potentially, you know, if you're going to move, for example, to take advantage of maybe say like a nursing job in another location, you are going to have to learn a new language, or the tools are going to have to get a lot better so that when I speak into my, you know, Google Translate, it actually does speak German so that we could actually have this conversation in German, right? I would say like maybe it depends. I don't know if we'll ever get to like a true, you know, 100% of the labor force really feels that like borderless talent pool. But I think that, you know, some of the opportunities, you know, depending on what your job is and depending on how you work with other people, you know, certainly a hybrid or a remote, you know, approach to work has created more opportunities than ever before.
Mm. Yeah, it's true. No? Of course, first line workers are, it's not so easy to work in different places for specific jobs, or even not, it's perhaps not their, it's not perhaps not in their mindset, or mm-hmm. it's not what they might wish for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I have one final question for you, which is in the direction of HR trends, especially because we are in the end of the year, and at least in Germany, in the end of the year, everyone comes up with the trends of the next year. Yeah. So, what are the HR trends from a HiBob point of perspective?
I think that there's a couple of things that we're keeping a pulse on. One is just the idea of sort of being a modern company, right? We have been talking at HiBob, at least, about, you know, how our customers, our ideal customers, they're modern, meaning they're people-centric. They really care about people. Oftentimes they're mid-size, maybe 100 to 10,000 employees, and they are multinational, because multinational companies have these unique challenges by birth. But one of the things that we found is that modern means something different to to everyone, right? Modern can mean I am a traditional manufacturing shop and I'm pursuing this amazing digital transformation and I want my people to come along with me and feel that modernity that my company is embracing across every line of business, right? Modern can mean I'm a tech company and I was founded from the start, you know, with certain values and certain focus areas and certain approaches to things like performance or compensation that are fundamentally different than the old way of doing things. Modern can mean that, you know, you're in a business where, you know, a lot of your focus is on people. Maybe you're in a consulting or a services business where really your power is your people. Modern can mean so many things, but how do we help, you know, create a dialogue about what are the best practices for modern businesses? If we know that a big function of HR going into the next year is building bridges, well, how do modern companies think about building bridges? How do modern companies think about rewarding and recognizing and retaining their employees, especially when retention is so, you know, top of mind for so many people? How do modern companies scale smartly? How do they make sure that, you know, they are keeping the needs of their people and their culture, you know, sort of like intact as they get bigger, they get more complex, right? Or they become more global. There's a lot of things that come with that idea of a modern company and defining and really fleshing out, I think, what a modern company, you know, looks like and how they operate that is something that as we enter 2025 is a really interesting opportunity for all of us and for all of our customers to input into. Because, you know, if anybody represents the modern businesses around the globe, it's definitely our community of HiBob customers. And I think that, you know, making sure that we know, you know, what they need, making sure that we're listening to our customers and making sure that we are creating that great community feeling for them where they have these resources and they're able to talk to each other about, you know, what being a modern company really looks like, you know, give back to the community a little bit is really, really top of mind for us as well.
Thank you. That's a nice I have to say in German, it's Ausblick. I will look it up afterwards so I can put that in. But everyone who's listening, I think, gets the point. Do you understand Ausblick? Perhaps not. No, it's.
I don't. I imagine you're saying like a wrap up or no, it's, a summary it's more, or a parting thought.
No, it's the Ausblick means the view in the future in the next year. I know the word in English, but it doesn't come to my mind. It doesn't matter. Thank you very, very much for your time and talking to me and giving some insights about HiBob and the way HiBob thinks or how. Things work at HiBob. So thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really, really enjoyed this conversation and I'm hoping to see you all soon.
Yeah, bye.
Das war Zielgruppengerecht von Robindro Ulla und Jan Havlicek. Du möchtest mehr erfahren? Dann schau jetzt auf www.diegrüne3.de oder Robindro Ulla und Jan Havlicek auf Xing oder LinkedIn. Und jetzt ist wirklich Schluss.